now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
I'm Steffi Barnett, and today on the show...
Ivan's been in LA talking to good folks at their LGBT centre.
Plus, was Lancelot really gay? We'll be finding out.
But coming right up, we're going to be talking to Kerry, so stay with us right here on Shout Out.
Good evening. Hello. Again. We shall have to stop meeting like this.
So, yeah. But it says in the script your name's Lucy, but it's not.
It does, yes.
So, hello, Lucy, if you're listening. Where are you?
Yes. Hello, Lucy Potter.
So, and before, we're going to talk to Kerry in a minute. Before we do, I want to say hello to Aisha.
Yes, you do. Go on then.
Just because I want to say hello to Aisha.
A true shout out on Shout Out.
Yeah. Can we call them a shout out on Shout Out? I suppose we could.
I just did.
So, hello, Ella.
Hello.
How are you?
I am pretty good, thank you.
So, and hello, Kerry. Are you there, Kerry?
Hello, good evening. I am here.
Oh, you are.
Right, now, Kerry, you're from Feed the Homeless Bristol, and I think that's a hashtag that you're trying to get going, isn't it, at the moment?
That's right, yeah. So I've been working with them for the last couple of months. I'd say a very small part, if I'm honest. But, it's an incredibly diverse group of people from all different walks of life, just united by the desire to feed the homeless in Bristol.
Now, is it volunteers you're looking for?
That's right, yeah. I mean, the group's set into three kind of different areas. We've got cooks who provide hot and cold meals, sandwiches, etc. Then there's an amazing group of people who walk around and distribute the food, along with any warm clothing, blankets, or sleeping bags that have been donated. And then there's a management team that includes the trustees to make sure that we meet the core objectives and continue to grow.
All right, do you do this every year?
Well, there's a specific event that's happening in the Bear Pit in Bristol on Sunday, but the group itself, Feed the Homeless, they actually work every weekend, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, distributing food parcels to people who are living on the streets in Bristol. So it is every weekend on those days.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Yeah. So do you do anything bigger and more special on over a Christmas period?
Well, this year we're supporting the Keep Bristol Warm campaign, and this is an event in the Bear Pit between 3 and 6 on Sunday the 11th, and that's really an opportunity for people to share warm clothes, new underwear and socks, sleeping bags, etc., to support homeless people, and Feed the Homeless Bristol are joining in and providing some cold food, so some sandwich packs with a drink and some crisps, etc., to keep people going.
Right, so we can all get involved with that one then at the Bear Pit?
Absolutely. If anybody's got any surplus donations of clothes, kind of sizes small to medium, but any coats that are large will be absolutely perfect. And just come along and see the work that's being done by these amazing organisations.
Is it a good time to come along and have a chat to people, like, you know, thinking of getting involved?
Absolutely, it would be perfect to do that. So, you know, there'll be some of the trustees will be there, people from different organisations, and you can find out a little bit more about it. There's also the organisations are on Facebook, Keep Bristol Warm, and hashtag Feed the Homeless Bristol. But coming down to the Bear Pit on Sunday would be brilliant, because you can just find out about the kinds of work that you can do to help support people.
Cool. Well, listen, hopefully there'll be a few people who've got some stuff at home that they can get rid of, or perhaps want to come down and volunteer. So very quickly though, Kerry, if people are listening and want to find out more, have you got a website or anything online?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go to feedthehomeless.org.uk, you can find out more about the food element of it that we do every week. Or go onto Facebook and look at hashtag Feed the Homeless Bristol, or hashtag Keep Bristol Warm, and also www.keepbristolwarm.co.uk.
Brilliant. Cool. Well, lovely to catch up with you again, Kerry, and we hope it goes well on Sunday.
Thank you very much, and you too.
And thanks for phoning in. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go. It's that time of year, isn't it? Because we've been down to like -7 already.
Yeah. What is surprising that the homeless are skewed. So there's quite high percentage versus population numbers of LGBT plus people actually homeless.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm looking in front of me. Between 25% and 27% of all homeless people, I reckon.
Yeah.
Which is a staggering statistic, actually. You thought this day and age we wouldn't have so many that are homeless, but still. Anyway, it's time for some events. So for the first, it is your first time, isn't it?
It is my first time.
First time with events, here we go. Now, you'd have thought this time it's nothing but Christmas, but I'm sure you're going to tell me it's not.
It's really not. There's quite a lot of stuff, including some... Well, there's one event which I think is almost anti-Christmas for the Scrooges in us.
No.
Yeah. So that,
you say that like you're anti-Christmas.
No, I'm not, but I may or may not. I've been practicing toning down my enthusiasm.
Yeah, I know how that feels.
Yeah, so it's that one is Coochie Crunch, which is at the Smoke and Mirrors pub next week, next Friday from 7 p.m.
Right.
And it's their Krampus Spectacular. I don't know if you know what Krampus is.
Krampus, yeah, there's a movie, isn't there, called Krampus?
Yeah, it was a horror movie. It's based on this Austrian kind of like bad spirit or evil demon. So I'm assuming that.
Oh,
have you seen the movie?
I hate horror films. I can't
really don't watch it. It was not good.
No, I couldn't. I have nightmares because of Doctor Who, like, let alone a horror film. But that one, it does look pretty interesting. They've got a lot of burlesque performers. They've got Discharge and Tuesday Laveau, plus about 10 other performers, and tickets are £10. So I think that's about like £1 per person you're going to be seeing on stage. And it's going to be holiday burlesque mayhem, whatever you think that might mean.
Yeah. It sounds like quite a mix.
I know, it really does. And if you
burlesque Christmas, well,
I mean personally, I can't say that I would say no.
No, I wasn't saying no.
But if you feel like avoiding Christmas entirely, you've got Italians Do It Better at the Queen Chilling, which is next Thursday from 8 p.m. So they're going to be featuring music by Beyonce, Madonna, Britney, Lady Gaga, and they've got the creme de la creme of the Italian drag scene coming to Bristol for one night only. So it's going to feature performers Alyssa Vandel, Matteo the Best, Nehelinia, Melissa, Shemale, and either LA Diamond or La Diamond, but because it was in all capitals, I'm not sure.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I apologise to the performer in question if I've just gotten that wrong. But tickets are £10, and if you want a photo opportunity too, it's £15. If you're on the fence about that, I suggest going to the website. They are some very, very stunning Italian performers, and I think it will be worth the trip.
Cool.
Yeah. But if you're not into clubbing at all, we've got Bristol Pride teaming up with the Watershed, and they're going to be screening The Pass, which is a film starring Russell Tovey.
Yes, it looks like a really good film, actually. I have to be. I've seen Pride posting it up.
I'm excited about it. So he plays an ambitious footballer, and it follows three nights over 10 years of his life and his relationship, which is a little bit kind of bumpy, with his teammate Ade, played by Arinze Kene. And they struggle with the implications of their intimacy in both very public, like professional footballers' lives, and their private lives, after they kiss at the very beginning of the film. And that's from the 9th of December till the 15th of December. Tickets are £9, but £4.40 for anyone 24 or under. Finally, Rainbows in Old Market is closing down their very last night.
Yeah, it's a real shame. Yeah, formerly known as The Lounge, if you remember it. But I went and spoke to Jo when she took it over. But it's not going so well, unfortunately.
So it's their last pool night, isn't it?
Yeah, tonight? The last pool night tomorrow. So they're inviting all women in Bristol to come along and find out what's going to happen next between 8 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. at 53 Old Market.
And if all the women in Bristol do turn up, there's going to be no traffic flowing down Old Market Street.
There'll be nowhere to move in Rainbows either. It's not the biggest of place. So, I wonder where they're going to go next. If you're listening, let us know, won't you?
Yeah.
Which would be cool. So, cool. Brilliant. Thank you very much, Ella.
No worries.
It would help if my computer would go. That's not you. Don't worry. There we go.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
I like the puppy, he says.
You do, don't you?
Yeah.
Anything,
although you picked that track,
anything
that
without
me.
Instruments?
No, they have instruments.
They don't, the puppinis.
Yes, they do.
Yes, their mouths.
No, there was a bass going in that. Plunk.
I thought that was you.
No.
Flicking the hairs under your arm. I thought that was you.
Oh, you are funny. So, right, do you want to introduce our next piece? Where's Ivan been?
Right, Ivan, I don't know. He's been all over the planet.
Well, yes.
For this one particular incident, he went to Los Angeles, the one in the States.
And, where else is it?
Funny that.
Is there more than one in Los Angeles?
Well, they always say LA, California, don't they? They always give the state and like Paris, France, like no one else knows where Paris is.
Oh, right.
It's really odd.
So, mind you, most Americans I know think that we all live in London.
That's very true.
It is very true.
Yes. So,
anyway, should we find out what he's been up to?
Yes.
Now, I'm with Jill Diaz. He's the communication manager for the Los Angeles LGBT Center here, of course, in Los Angeles. Gil, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you, and welcome to Los Angeles.
Gil, your role, it's a clue as to the sheer size of the organization, isn't it? We're here at the LGBT Youth Center, but it's just one of a number of locations you have around the metropolitan LA area, isn't that right?
Well, that is correct. I mean, the Youth Center is just one of six facilities that we currently have right now. We have our main headquarters in Hollywood. We have the Youth Center is also in Hollywood. We have a brand new center in West Hollywood, which has a predominantly LGBT population over there. And we just opened up Mi Centro. And Mi Centro in Spanish means my center. It's in the east side of Los Angeles, where we're catering mostly to the Latino LGBT population.
First of all, will you take me right the way back to 1969 when the LGBT Center was founded? How did it all start?
It was just a group of LGBT people just wanted to be able to take care of our LGBT brothers and sisters back then, and there wasn't anything that they can go to. So they said, let's create a gay center. And they just started having these meetings, and they started planning out the future of what they envisioned the Los Angeles LGBT Center to become. Getting this far has been so challenging and exciting at the same time. From 1969 to the 1980s, of having to deal with the AIDS crisis and the center responding to that crisis, to the 1990s and to the new millennium, now we've grown to having nearly 600 employees among six locations, and now we operate on a budget of about $100 million.
And we'll talk about how you go about getting hold of that money in just a minute. I mean, going back to the HIV and AIDS crisis, of course, modern medication, healthcare, that's changed all of that for those who can afford it, that is. How does the center help for those with HIV, stroke, AIDS?
Well, you know, I'm proud to say that when the AIDS crisis happened, the center was one of the first HIV testing sites in California. It became one of the largest STD clinics in America. The center has acted really swiftly to the AIDS crisis of the 1980s. We opened one of the first HIV testing sites in California, which would rapidly become one of the largest HIV clinics in the country. We responded because obviously gay men were dying left and right, and we needed to save them.
And of course, you are an LGBT center, and of course, disproportionately transgender people were also affected by HIV/AIDS as well.
Exactly. These days, we're hearing about more trans people, especially trans women of color, who are becoming HIV positive. Back then, in the 1980s, the T of LGBT wasn't quite known, or people didn't really know what transgender meant. But yeah, when we look back in retrospect, I'm sure a lot of those trans people were also HIV infected. In our main headquarters on Schrader Boulevard in the center of Hollywood, we actually envision that building to be a one-stop shop for someone who learns that he or she is HIV positive. On the third floor of that headquarters is our Jeffrey Goodman Special Care Clinic, which primarily deals with HIV patients. So we envision that if someone finds out on that day with their nurse or their doctor that they are in fact HIV positive, we take them up to the fourth floor to meet with a mental health specialist. And then after being reassured that everything's going to be fine with mental health specialists, then they can go to the first floor and get their meds right away on the very same day.
So it's mental health you're dealing with as well as the HIV side of things.
Right. Our health services includes mental health services. It also includes outreach to domestic violence and intimate partner violence.
Well, this is just one of like four broad areas that you deal with here at the centre. Let's move on, because you also deal with social services and housing too.
Mm-hmm. Well, social services and housing is a vital component of the centre. A lot of people think that Los Angeles is this fabulous place and Hollywood is this fantastic celebrity-driven location, but actually there's a lot of homeless youth out there. And staggering 40% of youth on any given night in Hollywood actually identify as LGBT.
That's an incredible statistic.
It is an incredible statistic. And when I first got here 3 years ago, I couldn't believe that statistic because that seemed like a lot of young LGBT people. A lot of them actually end up being homeless because they get kicked out of their homes after coming out to their families, or they're leaving from violent homes. For some reason, LGBT people maybe find LA to be the place to be where a lot of LGBT people are there and where LGBT people feel safe. So a lot of them come out here from small towns in America. They get off the bus and they end up in Hollywood thinking that, you know, they're going to make it big in Hollywood, only to discover that it's really grittier.
It's kind of a magnet for them. So how do you go about helping these people once they're here?
Well, if there is a young LGBT person who is experiencing homelessness and they have nowhere to go, and they eventually find us here at the youth center, we will take care of them. I know that here at the youth center, we have a policy that you are going to see a case manager within 15 minutes. Wow. When you arrive at that doorstep to look for help. We have emergency beds here at the youth center, about 36 emergency beds that you can stay here for up to a month. And while we take care of you for a month, we will give you 3 meals a day, hot meals a day. You will be provided with showers. We even have a clothing closet that generous people from Los Angeles have given their clothes to our clothing closet so that you don't look homeless on the street. So when you are back on the street, whatever you have to do out there, you don't have the raggedy clothes that people think that you, a homeless person, might have.
So you're giving these homeless youth opportunities and shelter. Mm-hmm. And what I was fascinated with, you also run a high school here, and that is for all youth. Is that right? Have I got that right?
Oh, that is absolutely right. It is probably one of the biggest open secrets that the center has. A charter school, but also a GED preparation. I'm not sure if you guys have a GED.
So that's like a general certificate, a diploma, isn't it? School diploma.
It is. It's short of saying it's a high school diploma. So the GED, we prep them with tutors, adult tutors, who volunteer their time to teach these students and further their studies so that they can pass the GED exams. But we also have a charter school. We recently just collaborated with a charter school named Five Keys Charter School. Initially, our charter school was just for high school-aged young people who wanted to get their diploma. But now we've extended it with Five Keys Charter School to include all LGBT youth 24 aged and younger.
Wow, that's amazing.
Because a lot of these youth, you know, they leave high school or they run away from high school and then they're on the streets for so many years and they never get that chance until they're after they reach 21 to finally say, yeah, you know what? I really do want a high school diploma. So that's when we changed our charter school so that it's 24 years and under.
And these are for young people that have perhaps been through the education system and haven't been able to fit in a regular sort of school.
Exactly. A lot of the youth want to come to our charter school because they're being bullied, they're being harassed, they can't study efficiently because they're just attacked all the time at the regular school district. So they come here to be able to learn a safe space where there's no judgment, there's no harassment, and they get that one-on-one tutoring with an adult teacher.
Okay, so let's move now to the other end of the age spectrum, because you help people like me. I think I am classed as a senior. But, you know, we're an aging population, aren't we, the LGBT community? And as we get older, often the LGBT seniors become isolated. What do you do to help them?
Everyone knows the baby boomer generation is getting older. We provide activities for them. We provide some housing for them. We also provide them with connections to other resources in the city. For example, we actually manage an affordable housing unit for LGBT seniors.
So how many people does that cater for?
It's called Triangle Square. It's also in the heart of Hollywood. But I think we have about 300 residents in that Triangle Square.
And that can be single people, couples, or whatever.
Yes. single people, couples, whatever. A lot of them are single, but almost all of them identify as LGBT.
Let's move on now to culture and education, because you have a big arts program here as well. Is that right?
So here at The Village, which is another facility at the center, we actually have two theaters. One is a 200-seat Renberg Theater, and another one is sort of a theater in the round. It's a smaller, intimate venue where you have maybe a more captivating, compelling production. We also have an art gallery called the Advocate and Goetjes Galleries, where we have a rotating gallery of local artists, mostly LGBT works that people can visit anytime, and it's absolutely free for that gallery.
And you're encouraging all people of all ages from the community to take part in these kind of events. Yeah.
Oh, of course. We do not discriminate. Everyone from Los Angeles and the world is invited to our events at the center, especially at The Village. They can come see a production. They can come check out our galleries.
And finally, of course, you as an organization are big on leadership and advocacy. I mean, I've looked down a list of a number of different programs that you have going on here.
So one of the areas that we have here at the center is known as the Leadership and Advocacy Program. And we created something called Leadership Lab, which stands for Learn, Act, Build. And basically, we go out into the neighborhoods, and we've done some canvassing in neighborhoods to change people's hearts and minds about LGBT people. For instance, especially when Prop 8, I'm not sure if your listeners are familiar with Proposition 8, which prohibited marriage between people of the same gender. But when Prop 8 passed, that's when we really went out there and we said, you know, there's obviously a lot of voters in Los Angeles alone who don't want us to get married. And maybe they just don't know how LGBT people really are. So Leadership Lab and their volunteers canvassed some of the more conservative neighborhoods in Los Angeles, literally knocked on their doors and said, hi, I'm a LGBT person and I'd love to know if you have any questions about why we want to get married just like heterosexuals do. And we were able to change so many hearts and minds, and obviously Prop 8 was appealed and now we have marriage equality.
So it clearly worked.
It clearly worked. And you know, recently we just helped Florida.
I was going to say, because you're not just introspective, are you? You work nationally and also internationally.
Right. Our Leadership Lab, for instance, worked with an LGBT group in Florida, wanted to overturn some pending laws that would discriminate against transgender people.
Yeah, and we also, I guess you're involved with the so-called bathroom laws that seem to be springing up around the country as well.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And so our volunteers of Leadership Lab went out there and they also knocked on doors and wanted to change people's hearts and minds. Recently, the results of that Miami canvassing was so huge that we've been written up by some of the leading publications about the effective work that Leadership Lab is doing by literally knocking on doors and having a face-to-face conversation with someone who is totally different from them.
And you're working internationally too. I believe you have a program that is called the Emerging Leaders Program, and you're working in China of all places.
I know, China, which is probably the most populous country in the world, yet it's probably one of the slowest to evolve for LGBT rights. So the Emerging Leaders Program, ELP, was started so that we can bring a group of LGBT promising leaders and allies to learn from us.
These are Chinese citizens that you're bringing over to the U.S. to put on a program.
Yep. They come here for 5-week internships, and then after the internship, they go back and they teach their friends and they learn their skills that they acquire from here.
Well, we've only just touched on just a few of the programs that you deal with. I mean, there are literally dozens. You've already said you have 600 paid employees here, but you have quite a lot more volunteers, isn't that right?
We have hundreds, if not thousands, of volunteers in our database who are loyal to us and want to help us build a better world for LGBT people.
That's great that you have so many people helping out. You mentioned a budget of something like $100 million. Now, I know a substantial amount of that comes generously from the government, but I imagine the rest of it, you know, what sort of proportion you need to raise money through philanthropy and fundraising?
I would say of that $100 million, I would say about 80% is provided by grants and government funds, and then we're responsible for raising the rest. And we've raised about more than $15 million just last year. And like you said, we have so many of the best and the most fun and biggest galas here in Los Angeles. And we have a great time and we raise funds. We always have these great galas all year round.
You know, you've been here for, since 1969. You're definitely here for the long term, right?
That's an advantage for the center, is that it's been around for so long. It's built up that loyal database of supporters and volunteers. And, you know, if it wasn't for them, we probably wouldn't be as strong as we are today.
Well, Gil, it's clear to me that the work that you and your co-workers here at the Los Angeles LGBT Center do is both vital to the LGBT community, not only here in LA, but also nationally and internationally. And we really hope the center continues to thrive and carry on with this wonderful work. Thank you once again for talking to me today.
Thank you so much for visiting the Los Angeles LGBT Center. Hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Pentatonics. You pick that one for a change. I get told off for playing Pentatonics because I play them too much. So I like that one.
Yes, you do.
That's called Can't Hold Us. So. Don't suppose you remember what album it's from, do you? Or did you buy it individually?
Yeah, individually.
All right.
So. Actually, I didn't buy it at all. It was sent to me.
I was. You bought it. So anyway, that's Pentatonics. And right, new Simmer here, so we're going to keep going. What am I on about? We're going to get some news. Get some news headlines.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 8th of December.
Nigel Bryars for the North Somerset LGBT Forum has been awarded a prestigious accolade by the Avon and Somerset Police for his work in bringing the community together to fight hate crime and mobilise for its civil rights. The Police Crime Commission Award was also given in recognition for his work in organising Pride in Weston-super-Mare and was graciously accepted at a small ceremony this week. In a statement, Nigel said, I am honoured to accept the award and thank Avon and Somerset Police and the Town Council for nominating me. This award is for our team and for the community. I wish you a safe, peaceful and enjoyable Christmas, and I look forward to continuing our work together in the new year.
Gay Star News reports that families of four young gay men who were murdered by the recently imprisoned serial killer Stephen Port are to look at suing the Metropolitan Police. Speaking to BBC Television's Victoria Derbyshire programme, the relatives of the victims explained that the police had construed the deaths as drugs-related, and they alleged that had young heterosexual women been murdered in similar circumstances, then the threads connecting the cases would have been drawn together much faster. Meanwhile, discussion continues in the Quality Press this week as to how best to protect people that use dating apps such as Grindr and other similar platforms that have been abused by sexual predators.
Pink News reports that there has been a broadly positive response to BBC One's festive trailer, which is airing on Channel to promote its festival viewing, which is running under the slogan, For the Moments We Share Oneness. The trailer shows the families getting ready for Christmas and includes a male couple kissing under the mistletoe. This inclusive trailer has been welcomed by many groups who feel that the BBC has traditionally been conservative in its representation of various minorities.
Amanda Carey has some sharp words in the US gay magazine The Advocate this month for those Democrats and leftists who are blaming feminism, black civil rights and LGBT equality for the defeat of Hillary Clinton in the US presidential race. Identity politics, she explains, are about human rights and should be recognised as such. You can visit our website for a link to her essay.
And finally, media website Digital Spy says that the gay actor John Barrowman is firing up Doctor Who fans with another intriguing tweet implying that adult spin-off series Torchwood could be coming back after a five-year hiatus. Barrowman, who has a public spat with Doctor Who's outgoing producer, Stephen Moffat, whom he implied was blocking a return for Captain Jack Harkness and his team of Torchwood investigators. However, Moffat hit back with the news that since Torchwood wasn't his property, it was nothing to do with him if the show come back or not. Much speculation continues on science fiction websites across the internet, so your guess is as good as ours as to when Torchwood may return.
For these new stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.com. LGBT.
For Shout Out News, this has been Tara Fraser
and Terry Starr.
Shout Out.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast. Shout Out Podcast.
This year, the Shout Out Listeners Awards are returning, and they're bigger than ever.
Ending with a massive awards ceremony and after party.
The awards are your chance to tell us who you think is the best of the best.
With categories covering everything from best dining experience to best support group or organisation.
From best drag artist to best festival.
Plus, our most prestigious award, the Local Hero of the Year, is back too.
Voting for the Shout Out Listeners Awards is divided into two rounds.
Round one is open nominations. You can vote for anyone in any category you feel is fitting.
When round one closes, we take the top nominations in each category and shortlist them.
Then round two will open for you to vote on those that have been shortlisted.
This year, the winners will be announced at our brand new awards ceremony,
taking place at the Old Market Assembly in Bristol.
But the best bit of all, it's free.
Yes, not only are nominating and voting completely free,
but the awards ceremony itself will be completely free to attend.
The Shout Out Listeners Awards are there to give you a voice, to tell us who you think is your best of the best.
For more information and to nominate, go to shoutoutradio.lgbt/awards.
Round one is now open.
I think there's only about 2 weeks left.
Yeah,
till round one closes.
Yep. Certainly is.
Yeah.
Ella's back in the studio. You can't keep the girl out. Did you notice she kept her foot in the door? She couldn't shut the studio door. So sorry, everyone, for the noise from the green room because we just couldn't shut the door.
What can I say? I'm persistent. I don't think that's a bad quality. It's just perspective, you know?
Of course it's perspective.
Now, I think I'm really, really curious about this one. I know who I want to ask about. You know who I want to ask about. But give the listeners a bit of an insight into what we're going to talk about.
Okay, so I am a medieval historian in my free time, and I wanted to talk to everybody about queer history, see people in history, because I feel like we don't often realise that transgender Vikings existed. There were women in medieval France in courts writing love poems to each other, and of course there were Arthurian knights, who may or may not be mentioned, who were gay and bisexual.
No, you can't say may or may not. We've got to talk about Lancelot, because I want to know.
Don't worry, we will.
But you are right, though, because I mean, it is one of those things that, because of the way the world has been in the past, it gets really covered up. I remember we talked to Outstories Bristol about it, and they were like, yeah, we're actually surrounded by it, but a lot of history has been rewritten over the centuries to remove the whole LGBT element because it was seen to be wrong at the time.
Right, very
but
much
there
so.
there is actual evidence of it, is there?
Oh yeah, like we've got 1,000-year-old manuscripts. These were myths, these were legends, these were things that people looked up to and were inspired by. These were poems you might quote in a letter to your lover. You know, this was a serious, real thing, and throughout history over the centuries, especially in Britain and Europe, we've kind of gone backwards and forwards over how we feel about LGBT people.
So this is shock horror moment for me. I always thought Lancelot fell on his own sword, but he obviously fell on his boyfriend's sword.
Oh man, I
ignore her and her smut. You know what she's like. It always happens with
Shout Out. No smut in that one. That's your own mind.
Well, so can we ask then, how do we know Lancelot was bisexual?
Okay, so we know, well, we believe that Lancelot was bisexual because of the original...
I don't mean because Monty Python made it. I mean, you know, have we actually found any documented evidence?
No, very much so. So the largest corpus of material that we have about Arthurian literature is called the Vulgate Cycle, and it was written in the 12th and 13th centuries by multiple authors. And the section that concerns Lancelot stars Galahote, who was Lord of the Long Isles, and he was the son of a giant, and he meets Lancelot whilst Lancelot is disguised as the Black Knight, and he immediately becomes his friend.
I like the way you say that.
Well, I mean, so there's
that was radio inverted commas.
Yeah. Because I mean, there's a lot of discussion of what we call homosociality in medieval literature. So men might be kissing each other on the lips whilst they're naked, but it's really not gay because, you know, that's embarrassing. But actually,
so it was, you say like homophobia was rife even back then.
Homophobia was rife in the academics who wrote about the manuscripts.
Right. Okay. Right.
So they say Lancelot meets his friend Galahad, right, who dresses him in a special robe and calls him the love of his life and introduces him to everyone as the love of his life. But they're definitely they're just good friends. You know, that's what's actually going on there.
So why did you say bisexual rather than did they write about him with women as well then?
Yeah. So Lancelot is bisexual and his lover Galahad is written as explicitly very much gay. So Lancelot is bi because he's totally in love with Guinevere, and interestingly, Galahad actually acts as a kind of competition for Guinevere. So, you know, famous Lancelot Guinevere love story. Galahad steps in and Lancelot is kind of like, hey, I kind of like him too. And Guinevere is like, I beg your pardon. And it's
so he
great.
Didn't know which way to turn.
Well, so he
the
kind
funny
of
thing
did.
Is, it is actually making Spamalot seem very real. If you've ever seen Spamalot, it's very much what you're describing, just done with a Monty Python.
No, seriously. But there is this whole thing going on. So, for example, it's especially interesting to me because a lot of the time, as we know, even in modern media, when a gay lover is introduced as, for example, competition to the heterosexual love interest, they often represent like downfall and someone dies, and it tends to be like quite like subtly homophobic, and that's sad. Yeah. Actually, in this story, it's very much the opposite. Lancelot's love of Guinevere brings on the destruction of Camelot. However, his love of Galahad and Galahad's love of him stops a war. Galahad stops the war between himself and Arthur, and he also actually defends Guinevere from accusations of treason, despite the fact that he is competing with her as a lover of Lancelot. Plus, even though Galahad does actually die, which is really sad, when he finds out that, well, he's told, he's lied to by the witch Morgan Le Fay and told that Lancelot's been killed and he dies of grief, eventually Lancelot and Galahad are buried together. Guinevere is buried in a convent.
It's very 12th century EastEnders, really, isn't it?
It really is.
It's all just like really interwoven. I'm really surprised, to be honest. No, so out of all the ones that you've researched, I mean, obviously we're talking about Lancelot, but out of all the ones that you've researched, what's your favourite story that you found so far?
Gosh, I have several. I really have to mention, and I really want to mention Thorberga, who was a trans king in a saga called Hrolfsaga Gautreksona. So Thorberga was assigned...
Can I just say for pronouncing that was more than I could have done.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. So Thorberga was assigned female at birth and was given the name Thornbjorg. However, his father had no male heir, and he chose to not only rule a third of Sweden, but to act as a man. He changed his name to a man's name. He was referred to as a man, and he dressed up in armor and stuff. Now, he had a slightly, you know, a bit of a hiccup where this bloke came along and tried to propose to him as a woman, and Thorberga literally, like, chased him out of the castle with an army for calling him a woman, and was like, I beg your pardon. Eventually, he did
lose. So it was because he was trans, and it wasn't just so that he could rule the...
No, so, right, so this guy who came along to try and propose to him, Hrolfr Galtreksson, kind of was like, you're technically a woman, so I can take all your money. And Thorberga was like, no, I'm a man, I am better at battles than you are, go away.
And by the way, here's my army to chase you out.
Yeah, exactly. Now, sadly, Hrolfr did come back and he did defeat him. However, it wasn't the end of the story for Thorberga, because although, to begin with, Thorberga had to take back his old name, later, Hrolfr is a bit of an idiot and gets stuck in Ireland supporting an ally. So Thorberga goes and rescues him with his troops and leading an army. So really, like, Hrolfr needs to get over himself. But I just want to say there's one of my favourite things is probably actually a quote from the Vulgate cycle. And this is to do with Galahad and Lancelot.
Right.
See, on Galahad's tomb was inscribed, here lies Galahad, the son of the giantess, the lord of the distant isles, who died for love of Lancelot. And that's in a 1,000-year-old manuscript. But my favourite part is when he meets Lancelot and Lancelot is going to leave him. And Galahad says that you could have the company of a more powerful man than I. Mais jamais un homme qui vous aime autant, which means, but never a man who loves you so much.
Aww.
Oh.
That's really sweet. Isn't
we're going to have you back for a part two.
Yeah, definitely.
Or a
definitely.
Part deux.
Part deux. So, well, listen, in honour of that, and I know it's a bit of a Mickey tape, but I've got a song for you. Listen to this.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Well, I don't think you can get much more gay than that, really.
It's a big camp.
So that's from Monty Python's Spamalot. That's called His Name Is Lancelot, which is all basically about him realising he is gay. Which just, I'm sorry, but when I saw in the producer's notes that's what we were talking about today, I was just like, we've got to have that song in. It is very funny. Yes. Yeah, so, have you seen Spamalot?
No.
You haven't? You have, haven't you, Ella?
Yeah, I have.
It's really good. I didn't realise actually how factually correct it was. I always assumed it was just a complete nut Mickey take.
No, seriously, it's crazy. And I mean, it is ridiculous, because even Galahad and Lancelot are obviously, I think they're the real love story. But you have things in medieval literature where, for example, a guy is naked on someone's bed being kissed 100 times, literally 100 times by another man.
And well, people I wouldn't
are,
say no.
Well, I mean, and people are like, they're just friends. They're just really good friends.
No, married.
Reminds me very much of zoology programmes and people, if you ask them in the BBC wildlife department up at White Ladies Road here in Bristol, and that is that a lot of the zoology films over the last 150 years photographs and films have actually been depicting same-sex interactions between animals, and yet they've been relabeled in some cases for fear of because of the personal prudishness of the filmmakers through history. So that's happened quite a lot as well. And it sounds it was a similar dynamic for
it
the
historians.
It was
Darwin that discovered it, wasn't it? He discovered same-sex in animals.
Well, because it does actually help with the survival of the species. There's over 1,500 species that display homosexuality, bisexuality, transgender behaviours, and basically mostly it's adopting kids. But it helps in terms of evolution, because if the straight parents, one of them dies or they abandon the baby, then there's always a surplus of parents who want a baby to look after. So, you know, it's natural. It happens. We
like
need to
you're
start
thinking.
Realizing that.
Lateral.
Yeah.
No, it's a real thing.
And I don't know how proved that is. I mean, it might be the case in animals. I don't know. I don't know.
Certainly what evolutionary biologists, people like Richard Dawkins and so on, would say. That's their explanation.
I mean, because there have been loads of theories about it, though. There's also been another theory that a certain generation of us are gay in order to make the female more fertile. That's another one I've read, and they don't know for definite, and they never do with these things, do they?
Well, until they totally crack the genome, I suppose, they probably won't.
Which I kind of don't know if I want them to. I'm quite happy not knowing and just being gay.
Or we get visited from another planet and they tell us what's been going on.
Well, yes, true, yeah.
They just say, you have binary gender, I beg your pardon.
What's that then?
Steph's been visited by aliens, everyone be careful.
How did you know? Have you been probed as well?
I was waiting for that.
Oh, you do make me laugh. So,
I'm not going to be able to read the script now.
I was just looking at the countdown thinking, all right, calm down. But next week, you're talking to our marathon man, aren't you?
Yes, yeah, because you're not here, so I'll be here with Rose. Yeah. And we're talking to the 401 man. Well, God help me or Rose?
Well, one of the two. I mean, Rose is bad as you, so God knows what you're going to be like on air, the pair of you. It'd be quite funny. Yeah. So. But on a serious note, he ran 401 marathons, didn't he? And he's coming in next week to talk to us about it.
That's absolutely fantastic, One of the sporting heroes, I think, of 2016.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing that.
I know he had a slight break because he was ill, wasn't he? He tore a ligament or something.
Yes,
he did.
But he went straight back to it as soon as he could and completed. Fantastic.
Yeah, so the team will be talking to him next week. So,
Anyway,
that's it for this week. Please remember the Shout Out Listeners Awards for 2017 are now open for your nominations.
Ooh. If you want to vote, just go over to shoutoutradio.lgbt/awards, and remember, you don't need to vote for every award you aren't sure.
Next week, as we said, they're going to be talking to the Marathon Man, and then the week after we've got our Christmas Cracker, which is our fun show of the year.
But
from myself and the team, say bye bye everyone.
Bye bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.